This is exactly right.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and this is less of a joke, more of a PSA. But if anything is ever going bad for you this year, here's a little tip. You can sing anything to the tune of California Dreamin' by Mama and the Papas, i.e. everything is bad, everything is bad. Or like, I don't like my job, I don't like my job.
On a winter's day.
So you can just use that. Anytime you just want to express yourself and you feel like shit, there's your ticket.
Hell yeah. I love
That's my joke.
It's a good joke, good tip.
Thank you.
Riff. Joke tip. It's a jip.
Yeah, it's a jip.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm Brandy Posey, and contractually, all Troys must spend at least one New Year's Eve in Times Square and tell everyone that it's a must, bro.
I'm Tess Barker, and I can't believe I finally succeeded in quitting afternoon coffee because I didn't.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Woo-hoo.
It's a new year, and we're us, and we love it.
New year, yeah. Came us.
New year, best us. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's kind of nice getting older and being like, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter for shit. Doesn't matter for shit. Yeah. Also, a year is nothing.
No, a year is nothing. I mean, I'm sorry. How did it become December? It was just April. So
yeah, because a month is nothing.
Yeah. A month is nothing. A week is nothing. A day is nothing. A life is nothing, frankly. So just take
nothing.
The pressure off.
Just kick back. Yeah. I mean, resolutions? No. Haven't done those for years.
Honey,
we're not doing those anymore.
No. Take your time. Change when you want, if you want. Doesn't need to be. Don't let a calendar dictate when you change.
Oh, because it's not going to. You've bought a lot of calendars and none of them have helped.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
As evidenced by my pile of them. They almost got me. Almost got me again. I was at Target and I was like, and then I'm like, no, this is not you. This will never be you. Don't do it.
Good for you.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Target be having some cute shit right now.
Yeah.
I know it's January for our listener, but it's still Christmas here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
we're in the past.
We're still in the past. And Target has, I'm saying it, I'm trying to tell you guys this because I don't want to buy it, but as I'm saying it, I'm like, I'm going to buy it. They have these nutcracker, like, succulent holders.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
The plant comes out of the nutcracker's head, and they're so cute.
I missed those. I did a little Christmas run recently. It was really funny because I was buying stuff to, like, send back to my niece and nephew, you know? So that's an easy way to just buy a bunch of little crap.
Yeah.
And they have those, like, hot chocolate spoons where they have like chocolate on the end. You're supposed to mix them into a hot chocolate. Mm-hmm. But the other night, I basically ate all of the hot chocolate spoons. I was like really craving sweets. And then yeah. I was just like, that's the only chocolate I have in my house right now. So I was just eating them raw, just watching TV.
Oh my God, that's amazing. And that's the energy we're bringing into a new year.
Yeah, right? You know what? The candy's for me, okay?
Yeah.
I'll never forget. Straight. When I was flying back from Italy with my family, we had a layover in Amsterdam. And like me, this was kind of a miracle. My brother, sister, and I found some Xanax in the medicine cabinet at the Airbnb. Mm. So that Whoa. Was really just ghost ourselves. And we were just like calmed down.
You were like, we'll take this.
Yeah. And so we were like we emerged from our Xanax coma and we're like in Amsterdam and we were running late for our like connecting flight. And mm-hmm. we passed by at the Amsterdam airport. There was this like magical Willy Wonka-esque hot chocolate bar.
Oh my
that
God.
Had Ooh. Those spoons, but they had like 18 different kinds of those chocolate spoons and each one more beautiful than the next. And we were running late and my dad just goes, wait a minute. And he just like pulled us all over to the chocolate thing. He's like, we have to get one of these. And all of us, we almost missed our flight because of it. And all four of us are like, that was one of the best things we've ever done. Like that was such a good idea. I still think about that hot chocolate.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I don't know if I can ever have a hot chocolate spoon because nothing's going to top that one.
Yeah, no, that's up there. That's up there.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever know what they taste like in the hot chocolate because they probably won't ever get that far.
Just like a dry spoon.
Yeah. God, hot chocolate can get it. I got a hot chocolate after the Nutcracker the other night and it did not.
Oh, I'm in my hot chocolate era hardcore right now.
They're delicious. I like making them at home. I do feel like when you get them out, they're too hot for longer than most.
I gotta make it
beverages.
At home. It's
I don't know. The water feels hotter than a tea or a coffee by far.
Oh, I kind of know what you mean. Yeah, if you just get it out of the water spigot, that kind.
Yeah. It's much. Hotter,
I also make it with. I make it with almond milk. You know, I need a little creamier.
Yeah.
I got my protein hot chocolate, so it's healthy. I'm doing great.
How is that? We had just spoken to you when you got the order.
Fucking delicious.
Yeah.
Shout it out, Ghost Protein Hot Chocolate. It's amazing.
By the makers of Ghost Energy Drinks.
Yeah, I would
expect
they're
nothing less than them.
Yeah, it's like a nightly.
I need to go to get yoked and get one of those today.
Yeah. Energy drinks making hot chocolate feels like when a basketball player starts rapping.
it's giving very like Shaq Fu.
Shaq's
I love
DJ.
It.
Yeah.
We all went to Shaq. Perfect. Great.
Yep. I immediately thought of them, of Shaq's Halloween. What is it called?
Shaqtober.
Shaqtober Fest. Yeah.
Where they advertise Shaq as a DJ and we're like referencing his DJ name and the one CD he put out like 20 years ago as though everyone knew what they were talking about.
I can't believe we missed that lady.
We gotta go
next
this year.
Guys,
what are we doing?
We gotta go.
Okay, I'm sorry. I do have one New Year's resolution.
Okay.
I want to go to Shaqtober.
That's incredible. Okay, we're doing that.
I'll put it on the calendar.
Put it on the cal. Well, we're definitely starting out this year with a banger episode for everybody. So excited that we got to have this guest on. You know, like that's what's so cool about this podcast is we've gotten to have like people on who we really admire, really fans of. And I'm a huge fan of this guest.
Yeah.
He's one of the kids in the hall, if you've heard of it.
Yeah.
And he's got a show, a live show that he's taking on tour right now called King with his character Buddy Cole. Please enjoy our hang with the incredible Scott Thompson.
Yeah.
I feel like nothing's been right since like 1998. So we were due. Maybe we're due for another right.
Why do you say 1998?
Because that's when I was still like a teenager.
Yeah.
And it was before I knew.
It feels like it was a real, 98 feels like a real good year for me too. Whatever the last good year was pre 9/11. And I think 98 is like, you know.
Yeah. Cause like the first election I voted in was the one that Bush stole. And it was like that happened, then 9/11. And then it was like, all right.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Nothing's been the same since 9/11. No. They won. Let's face it. They won. Yeah. It just took a long time. It's taking time, but yeah.
It was the long con. It was the long con. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They won. That's for sure.
That's for sure. How was your 98?
Well, 98 was probably the worst year of my life. One of the worst years.
Really?
Of my life.
Damn.
Oh, no.
Yeah, 98 was a... Oh, yeah. The between 95 and 2003, those are the worst times of my life. I mean, literally just free falling, spiraling out of control.
Really?
Everything going wrong.
Yeah.
Tragedy everywhere. It was when the Kids of the Hall finished in 1995 and we released Brain Candy, mm-hmm. that was like a signal to the gods to say, now rain hell on this person for 10 years.
Oh my God.
Fire and brimstone, and we'll see how he does. If he comes out the other side, then maybe we'll give him a second act.
Because, Brain Candy.
10 years is a long time for fire and brimstone.
Yeah. It lasted, I guess it's four. Yeah, because I know exactly when it stopped. That would be 2002. So okay. seven, 8 years. Yeah. And you know what? It's interesting. Lots of things happen in that on the surface appear really good.
Yeah, yeah.
But inside, no.
No, you kind of know that internal feeling of
yes, and you're going and yet it's interesting because I worked like crazy. I made a ton of stuff, but I was never happy. And nothing worked out the way I wanted, which is really a great lesson. You don't expect anything because.
Even after you found success, you know, you've done something amazing.
Yeah, you've done exactly what you're supposed to do, what you wanted to do in a way that you never even dreamed of. And it's still not near enough. And it's not about being enough. It's just not exactly what you thought you wanted, you know? I mean, that's such an old song that is, right? You know, like, because it won't fame and glory. They don't fill the holes that you're trying to fill. You know, but you know, what does fill it? Time.
Right.
Acceptance. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can manage to get through those times, you can really, once you're on the other side, it's quite pleasant.
But how did it feel permanent when you were in it? I think that's.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I thought it'll end with my death. Really, that's kind of how I thought, but then I've been kind of morbid like that my whole life, and I always thought, well, I'll die violently, and I can't believe what we're getting into.
It's our comedy. It's fun,
and I know that it says on your website that we just like to have fun. We just talk.
We're like a fun
serious.
Sleepover.
No. We have
what's
dark
a sleepover without
too,
thoughts of death, though. Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, that's the thing. That's the only. It's truly the only. Really?
Yeah.
It's the best joke. Death is the best joke.
I mean, it's pretty funny.
I mean, all we do is we try to top it. There's just no way you can. You can't top that punchline. Like that's the ultimate twist that you just keep going. I might get it. No, death is going. No, sorry. No. I win.
But to be fair, it would be a bummer to like have beaten your closer and then have to kind of just peter out. You know?
It would be because petering out is pretty boring. I'm glad I'm not petering out. Like, interestingly, I thought at this stage in my life, I thought I would be like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, smell the roses and accept all the accolades and go another parade. but it didn't happen. And then I went, what? Yeah. I'm going to be relevant again? I'm too old for relevance.
You had to buy headphones.
I did.
No one told you about that.
I got Bluetooth? Oh shit! I got these little USB headphones to jack. I've got everything ready to go. Ready to go.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, I'm glad you're always relevant to me. So I think it never went away. But
that's nice. So are you all fans of the Kids in the Hall?
Yes, huge. Mm-hmm. And when you mention Brain Candy, that's like, one of my favorite movies of all time. So I know that like internally it was kind of a mess for you guys. And I guess maybe the end, I didn't realize like maybe kind of the end of like a, you know, era for all of you, but
has ever ended for us.
Nothing. Yeah, yeah.
In fact,
yeah.
I just spent the weekend with them.
Oh, that's amazing.
All five of us. So no, I mean, I think Brain Candy continues to hold up.
It does. I watched it for like New Year's 2 years ago. Great New Year's movie. Just like stayed in. We put on the big projector. Yeah.
I think it's quite prescient, and I think it just gets more and more relevant. And I don't know when we were making it. I don't think we dreamed it would ever have that. We thought it would have legs, but we just didn't really know what we were doing. We never really knew what we were doing. We just didn't know what kind of forces we were monkeying with.
I think that's the best art in comedy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It makes some of the most, I mean, it keeps it genuine, and it's like, it never felt like you guys were doing what genuinely made you laugh, and like that will always be a testament, I think. It's like, it never felt noted to death. It never felt like you could never feel like executives or anything coming in and being like, I have some ideas for you guys. Like, you never felt any of that. It was like, oh, these are like five funny people doing, you know, at the best of their ability.
Trust me, executives tried.
Well, of course, yeah.
And maybe if we had listened to them, we might have had a more successful movie and we might have made some money. And we would have continued that part of our career, but that didn't happen. But we're very, once again, we said we've got it right. Self-destruct. So,
yeah. Absolutely.
How did you get out of listening to them?
Listening to the executives?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess what you get out of it is you have to compromise. I mean, life is compromise, and they are the ones with the money. I've accepted that. It took me a long time to accept that.
I know.
At the beginning, I was so naive. I was like, oh, I know why they had the money, but they're like the Medici. They'll just give me money to do whatever I want to paint. They want to tell you what they want to paint. Like, they go, I want you to paint my niece. I want you to paint my wife. I want you to paint me. And I'm like, oh, no, but I want to paint this building. They go, well, money, you know.
No more lira. All kept women, okay?
Yeah. I only want to paint my harem. You know?
Yes.
But you see, I think what would have happened, though, for example, I think the one thing that did, crash that film was Cancer Boy, because the character of Cancer Boy, we knew that that was the one thing in the movie that was most us.
Right.
Yeah, and we fought for it, and basically it came down to Paramount saying, well, if you keep it in, then we're not going to publicize your movie. And we went, that's a good deal. It wasn't said to us expressly like that, but later on I went, that's what they were saying.
Yeah.
No, but like when something is that precious to you, it is like one of your darlings. Like, you'll do anything for
it. It's true. And it's all five of us are like that. And that's very extraordinary that all five of us would be like that.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
And Cancer Boy, like, we lied about why we wanted to do Cancer Boy. Ironically, we pretended we had cancer. I did get cancer like 12 years later. Yeah. And I thought, well, that's karma. But, you know. And I'm very proud of it. I'm glad that the character is in that movie, because I don't think you couldn't get away with a tenth of what we did in Brain Candy today.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, I think, you know, strange way, we've been playing the long game. You know, we wanted longevity. And I think longevity really happens when you don't get too big.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really understood that. And none of us did, because we were so ambitious that at the beginning we wanted the world. And
right, of course.
We were very arrogant. We thought we were the best. We still do. And we wanted this huge success. We wanted SCTV success. We wanted, you know, Bill Murray success, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen for us, but we're still making stuff. We're still working, all of us, in different ways.
Yeah.
And I still feel relevant. I still feel wanted. I don't feel jaded in any way. I feel hungry still. And that's an incredible thing. At my age, to be hungry still.
A feat, I think.
That's a gift. Yeah. And that's a gift from...
It is.
That's a gift. The gift of kind of like... I wouldn't say mediocre success, because we've had success. And I accept that. But cult success is the road to longevity.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there were people along our, during our journey, many of them became very, very famous and very, very rich and very successful. And yet I know that deep down, many of them envy us.
Yeah.
Because we can still live our normal lives. Mm-hmm. And people are still waiting to see what we're going to do. And we're mm-hmm. still seen as a little bit dangerous. Yeah. And when you're in your 60s, to be thought of as dangerous is, wow, that's amazing.
That is amazing.
That's like
that
the greatest gift.
I think, every, yeah. especially every comic, but like yeah. every artist, really, the goal is like, you just want to have fun making shit with your friends.
Absolutely. That's mm-hmm.
all
that's
what we all want. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That really is it. And you can't tell young people, like, you know, treasure these times because schlepping all your, you know, your bag of wigs and your costumes and your guitars to one shitty club after another. You think this is hell. No, it's the best time ever. And then getting drunk with your friends and getting into eight of you into a car. That's the best time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say that.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, I think the first, like, decade of doing comedy, I'm like, ooh, like, that was no, bar none, just like the most fun of all I'll ever have. Absolutely. You know?
No, but you're so poor. And, like, there's no, and, like, I think we put so much import on like, things like, oh, fame or money, especially when you're young, because you're so, like, focused on getting that you don't realize, like, what you really have right now is totally irreplaceable.
Yeah.
Like, you'll never be young again.
No.
Well, and you're all.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're young, seen it. You're supposed to push the envelope, make people uncomfortable, topple things. That's your job to do it. And we were absolutely willing to do all of that.
Well, I feel like you guys, too, coming back with your new show, you know, when I saw that you guys were doing a new show, I was, like, nervous because I think anytime your favorites, you know, come back together, you're like, oh, my God, like, I hope it's, you know, it, they pull it off. And you guys just, like, blew my mind with the new show because it was such a refreshing, like, bringing back some old things, but new ones and just, like, so with all of your voices again. And it was just, again, like you said, just you at your like, purest. All over again.
It was tough. You know, honestly, this was probably the toughest thing we've ever done as a group.
Yeah.
Because of the times, the temperature of the times. How do I put that in a way that won't get me in trouble? We live in a very hot time. Everybody's ready to be offended.
It's a real jazz hands season.
Can you believe that jazz hands is actually taken off? Like, it's really.
I know.
People aren't doing it ironically anymore. They mean it.
I know.
That's the only way we can express anything.
No. An earnest jazz hand is a problem.
It's so much worse than pearl clutching.
It really is. I miss pearl clutching. We did our best, you know, and interestingly enough, this is something I learned. The Amazon experience really forced this home for me that first of all, no matter how times change and how things change, there will always be a certain group of people, a certain percentage of the population, whether on the left, whether on the right, whether on the bottom, on the top, it doesn't matter. They will always be upset about something. And you might be in a time where it's the left that's always that, and then it's the right, and then it's the, you know, and you go, wow, everybody's the same. And you realize the root is through the center. That's the only way to get through this, is because people on both sides will lose their mind at one point in your lifetime. And you just have to keep your head down and move forward. But the great thing was, I kind of thought, well, because, you know, like, oh, I'm a gay man. I was first through that door. It'll be a cakewalk for me. I had no idea how difficult it would be. Mm. And it actually made it worse. Because I'm not quite the right type of gay man. And yet I realize, I mean, during the experience, was I'll be honest with you, was terrible for me. Even though I'm proud of what we did and I'm proud that I got through it. But I realized that, well, this is it. There will always be obstacles. There will always be people that don't understand, that are trying to, that are afraid of art and comedy. People are terrified of comedy because it is a powerful, dangerous force. Yeah. And you have to, accept that sometimes, this is what I've realized, is that obstacle is the way, and the obstacle will be what makes you stronger. And so I look at it and I go, yes, there were many things that I didn't get into the show that I would have wanted to, but the difficulties in making this in the time that we made it made what we did even more beautiful, because I look at it and I go, okay, people might look at our show and go, oh, they got away with everything, which couldn't be further from the truth. It's just that people don't understand that every time has their things that can't be discussed.
Right.
He who must not be named, topic that must not be broached comedically.
Right.
We came up across those topics. I'm sure you know what they are, because they were not in the show. They were not allowed to be in the show. And that just about made me crazy. But I went, well, I have to. And now on the other side of it, it sounds a little weird, but I will thank the people that tried to stop me, because they made me stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The compression of comedy, I think, is often where you're just like, okay, if I can't do that, it will force me to.
That's right. And it brought the five of us together in a way that we'd never had before. Because there was always before, it was always like, well, you know, like we're very different people. And, you know, it was always like, I'm the gay guy and all that. But by the end of this experience, I wasn't the gay guys. It was just us. That was huge, because we were it's not that at all that makes people uncomfortable. It's other things. We make people uncomfortable, and we became a group again in a very interesting way. We got so tight because we knew that this was a very difficult time for comedians like us. And in order for us to get through the rapids, we have to really stroke together.
That makes sense. And I'm sure having some other people there with you, it also probably helps kind of like weather the bullshit, because it's like, all right, you can't listen to all those people first. Like, I'm realizing that as I get older, it's like sometimes you just got to tell people to fuck off.
Yeah. Oh, we did. Oh, we did.
The fuck offs that happened.
We had struggle sessions in our homes in Zoom where I went, you know what? Fuck off. I'm not going to listen to you lecture me about things that you have no business talking about. Bye-bye.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I would go, no, you're in my home in a Zoom. No, you're not talking to me like that. Bye-bye.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't use that. No. I didn't think about that. You're in my home on Zoom.
You're in my home?
Yeah, yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
You're in my home and you're insulting me? Bye-bye.
Well, that makes me so glad to think that you guys are closer than ever. And I feel like that must, because Buddy Cole's, you know, going on the road.
Well, there
are
no Buddy Cole monologues. You must have noticed that.
Right, in the show.
They weren't allowed. They weren't
right.
Allowed.
Really?
Ah.
No, they weren't.
But all the better to see you
that's
live.
That's the thing, is I feel a live thing is so different. Yeah, it's like,
Yes.
You feel like you can really like let a lot more loose, and you don't have that, you know, restriction. So I'm sure that must be nice to come back to.
Oh my God. And that brings me to King, my show.
Yeah.
My new Buddy Cole show. Because basically it was what inspired this show, what gave birth to it, was the incredible the fear in Amazon at me, of me, and the fear of what Buddy was going to say, and the way they tried to crush me. Like, I submitted 6 monologues to them and not one were acceptable. So the piece, no, not one. Now, the piece that you saw, if you look at it again, look very closely, there's a kind of a melancholy to that piece. Like, oh, this is the end of this, because I no longer, and I was sad. I was very, very sad. It was also the Queen's in it. The Queen died. So there was this sad melancholy of it, because I kept trying to get my stuff in. And the kids in the hall were like, all the other 4 were like, wow, I can't believe they won't let you. Like, they call you. I was called homophobic more times than I can't even tell you how many times people called me a homophobe. But, you know, with the Buddy Cole show, what inspired it was, I went, well, I can't put any of this stuff on, but you on live, you can't stop me.
Yeah, that's
you know,
freedom
legacy
lies.
Media can say all they like, but we're not letting Scott Thompson anywhere near you know, us any longer. But you can't stop me on stage.
Totally. Yeah.
And so this show, in I even begin the show because Buddy's different than me, and that Buddy doesn't get angry about anything. Nothing really bothers him. He doesn't really care what people think. He doesn't give a shit. And I do, sadly.
Yeah.
And so I gave all of that to Buddy, all that pain, all that anger, all that sadness, and went, okay, you take it and you transmute it into something that I can live with. Funny.
Yeah.
Basically, turn it into funny. It's like spinning straw into gold, really. I think that's, yeah, I just realized what that meant.
It's beautiful to have that out, have created that outlet.
It was. You know? So I begin the new show, King, which is Buddy Cole thanking the overlords and overladies at Amazon for doing this, because Buddy Cole begins the show by saying, you know, you probably noticed that in the new series, there were no monologues from me. Now, please let me explain. The overlords and overladies at Amazon felt that me talking directly to the camera might make the audience think that we were on a Zoom call and they might all immediately start to masturbate. It's happened to me so many times, so I completely understand. I explained why there were no monologues, and it's all because I'm just too hot with my ring light. Now they've got a ring light. Everybody gets so excited when they see me. They can't stop touching themselves. Somebody thanks Amazon for that.
Yeah.
For saving, you know, and then I'm off. And then I begin, the show begins with the pieces that I had submitted that weren't allowed.
Oh,
where I take
wow.
on the topics that I wasn't allowed to discuss. Mm-hmm. And then it moves forward. And then it becomes, there's a lot. And then the second half is all completely original. And it's Buddy Cole's journey. And I won't tell you how it ends because you'll have to find that out for yourself. And it's kind of, well, it's something. It's really exciting what I'm doing. Really exciting and terrifying, and I'm going to get into an awful lot of good trouble.
Good.
I love that.
I mean, and for our listeners that have never seen you on stage, like they've just seen you just on TV and the movies and stuff, you are a fearless performer, and it is like being in a room with you is extremely electric. Like I remember seeing you do something at UCB years ago and was just like, just you feel the, like your comedic gravitas in a space is just, you can feel those decades of performance, this fearlessness coming off of you is really, very few people have I seen that.
That's amazing. Nice. I love being on stage. I love audiences. I love to talk to people and, I love live. I love that anything can happen. And one of the my favorite things is when a show derails. And that's something that the kids in the hall love more than anything. Like we would love it when things went wrong, we would immediately become more alive.
Well, it's so funny because like you guys have always had this, you're a comedic troupe, but there is a punk band vibe, a fuck you that comes off of you guys too. Yeah. And like that has always been such a... To see you spitting in the face of all of it is just been,
exactly. And so for us, it's always been about what's the status quo and how could we make them pissed off?
Yeah.
And quite often, I think with us, people don't quite realize when the status quo has changed until years later. And then they went, and I think the kids in the hall are kind of weird that we're so hyper-tuned that we're like going, oh no, it's already changed, but the world doesn't know it yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what may have the status quo right now, when people go, oh well, it's nothing like what it was. The people that we were fighting back then are not the same people now at all. But it's the same attitude, but they come from a different side, but it's still that same attitude to suppress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it's fear. And it's like, you know, we were talking earlier about like people hate comedy because comedy forces laughter. Yeah. And the sound of laughter is saying, I am joyous and not afraid.
Yeah.
And if you live your life in fear, then that sound coming out of you is foreign. And you're like, that's not who I am.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I agree.
There's also the other thing I love about live performance versus something where there's a comment section is like, it's so honest and it's so real. And like the audience can't really put in their two fucking cents that you said.
No, because you know, I don't want to. Yeah. This whole idea that it's a conversation. No, it's not. I'm in charge. I'm a lion tamer. You're the lions and you're going to do what I tell you.
So what you're saying is there's not going to be any Buddy Cole crowd work clips coming out of this.
There might be.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, you're right. But by the end, Buddy Cole's not going to like, I don't give it to anyone. Like, I don't let anyone win.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
You know, Buddy's like, I don't know if you've ever seen Dame Edna live. That was my favorite.
I mean, never live.
My God. The best.
I'm sure. Incredible.
Oh, Dame Edna live. Barry Humphries was my favorite.
Yeah.
Because you see, the thing about live as well is like you were saying about comment sections or people's opinions written down. You can look and go, I don't like that. That makes me upset. But if you met that person and you had a conversation and so you might go, you know what? They've got a point and that's a nice person. That's a good person. I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. And that's what live does, because this online life that we've been involved in for the last few years is not helping us as a society, I don't think. No. And the pandemic really made things so much worse. It drove us away from each other, and we need to get closer. We need to come back together. And live is what does it. And human beings need to talk to each other. And we used to be able to accommodate people from all different sides of the spectrum, you know, and you can't, and it doesn't seem to happen anymore.
Yeah, I think like with that, I think with when you're talking about whatever you want to, if you want to say controversial topics, any topic.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, of course. But like someone can, I think like they just lose all context. And we obviously know that context is like the most important thing with these kind of things. And they look at everything as black and white when it's like, but you're in, when you're a person, you see a performer, you understand that they're coming to it as a joke and to make commentary on everything.
Yeah, I had to be there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're jokes. They're just jokes.
Right.
Yeah, I always think about it in the fact that I'm like, do you take every song lyric like literally? Because, you know, like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, that's not, they're not talking about a real woman, you know?
No.
But I know. Jokes are taken literally all the time.
Well, lately, you're right, because context has somehow become illegal. And it's like,
people just don't want it because they want to be mad, you know?
They want to be mad. And I get that. I understand that. I think, you know, I also look at really young people that are like in that constant state of outrage and go, I was kind of like that.
Of course.
I was a young asshole too. So.
Of course. Who wasn't? You know, like when you're 22, if you're not an asshole, like, what are you?
Very much like that, you know, I don't. Yes. That look. Yeah. I just, but, you know, so it's, when you're on stage, when I'm Buddy, people go, by the end, I go, you might not like me. You might not like some of the things I say, but by the end, you'll be in love. Yeah. You'll love, I'm sorry. You'll love Buddy.
You will love Buddy.
You will love him. And, and you'll go, how did I fall in love with that horrible person?
We've all been there.
Yeah.
Because funny people, people forget, like, people forgive funny people a lot. You all must know that.
I'm like, just because you're funny doesn't mean you're a good person. And in fact, also often,
remotely, some of the nicest people I know are very unfunny. Yeah,
absolutely. Nice is not funny.
No, you think of? I said that to my husband the other day. Like, can you think of a bigger insult than if you just did a show and someone said, "You're so nice"?
Oh, it's the worst. Yeah. You're so. I really think I would love to hang out with you. No,
sweet.
You're so sweet.
You're so sweet.
Oh, what a dagger to the heart.
It really is.
We're gonna take like a very quick break, and we'll be back in a second.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Scott.
Yay.
In case you couldn't tell us apart.
We're going to ask you just like a few little questions to get to know you a little better.
Yeah.
It's called Who, What, When, Where, Why. Here's our incredible theme song.
Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when?
Why? That's a great song.
Wow.
I like that.
Okay. All right, Scott, mm-hmm. Who smells the best out of the kids in the hall?
Bruce.
Oh, didn't even have to think twice. I love it. What's he working with? What's going on over there?
Well, he smells a little bit like gin.
I was going to say like strawberries. I feel like strawberries maybe.
Gin, strawberries, and Old Spice.
Oh.
That's a great combo.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was always the one I had a crush on, and now you've just confirmed it. So.
Yeah. And maybe a whiff of slippers left by a fire. I don't know what that means, but it's a whiff.
With a little bit of the embers. Yeah.
A little bit of ember. Yeah.
I think you guys all need to release a candle line because that would be very popular.
I really like that idea. That's a really good merch idea. A candle for each one of us.
Yeah, yeah.
What candles would your candle in the hall.
Be? Candles in the hall.
Yeah, candles in the hall. Yeah.
Wow. Well, mine would smell like maybe Irish whiskey.
Mm.
Wet wool.
Okay.
And mint.
Ooh. I'm glad you threw in the mint because after the wet wool, I was not totally on board.
No, I think the mint balances it out.
Earthy.
It did. Yeah, it was a little funky, and then the mint kind of lightened it and lifted it up a little bit.
I like this. Do you? What do you think the other guys? Let's brainstorm a whole set, maybe.
Well, Kevin would be vodka if it doesn't have a smell. Vodka, like how about a musty basement?
Okay, great, perfect.
Evergreens and freshly fallen snow.
Oh, nice. This is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Very Canadian.
All of them have a little bit of stank, but
yeah. Well, yeah. Kevin lives in Winnipeg, so that's why I gave him a super fair. Canadian one.
Fair, musty of course, basement. Of
yeah.
Okay.
We'll send you this audio so you can like pitch them the whole. Be like, look,
yeah, I really do like it.
You should do it. We have like prayer candles that are some of our favorite like merch for us. Yeah. And I feel like if you guys actually had them scented towards like your different personalities.
I'm thinking Mark would be port, maybe port. pencil shavings.
Oh,
ooh, okay.
A leather belt, brand new.
okay.
Well, in this packaging. And Brill Cream.
Okay.
Do people even know what Brill Cream is anymore?
Yes.
Does that make it? Did you hear like a foreign language when I said Brill Cream?
No. I know
what it is. I guess I can't think of what it smells like.
I've never seen it in the wild. Yeah.
I'm oldest. When I was a little kid, my mother would put. There were five of us, five boys, and when we would go to church, my mom would line us all up, and she'd put some Brill Cream or some score on her hands, and then she'd like do each of our hair. It's like a thing for they used to put on men's hair.
Yeah,
You know what I'm remembering since you're talking about Brill Cream, and I think maybe this is now defunct, but when I was a kid, everyone was using Depp.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you guys remember
that huge thing of gel?
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah. That's a. Oh, wow. That'll make it stay.
What happened to all the Depp? Okay. I think Depp went out of style after that movie, There's Something About Mary, when Cameron Diaz put the cum in her.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was the end for Depp.
That took it out.
Yeah. Dippity Doo. Do you remember Dippity Doo?
Yes. I remember that one, too.
That was the first gel. Dippity Doo.
Yes.
It was lime green. It was amazing color.
That's where they learned. They were like, we got to like make this crazy color for people to buy.
Yeah, it was Element a wild color. I remember that color.
I love that. Man. Hold on. A Dave candle.
We missed Dave.
Our last candle.
Dave candle. Well, I was good. All the others had an alcohol in it, a booze in it. Yeah. And I'm just thinking what Dave doesn't drink anymore, but his booze would have been at the time. Creemore beer, which is where he's from. It's a craft beer from his hometown. Mm-hmm. Creemore beer. Freshly mowed lawn.
Ooh.
Yeah. And a the ashes of a burned down home.
Wow. Yeah.
What about like money, burning money? Because I remember him.
Maybe burning money. Oh, yeah. Like maybe the smell of $1 million being burned.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I know he has taught. Yeah. He talked about how he like really, really went for it.
Well, let me just say, Dave Foley reached a point where he went self-destruct.
Yeah.
You know what we don't talk about, though, is how fun it is to self-destruct.
I mean, he had a great time, I'm sure.
It feels good.
Yeah, he did. He did. He did have a good time. And we didn't know if we'd get him back, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm so glad you did. Yeah, thank God. You really got the best of both worlds.
Yeah. And every one of us have been on that, been in that moment. And we all were like, well, they might come back. They might not.
Yeah.
But we all did.
Okay.
Stray cat. Okay. Serious. Okay. What do you wear when you want to have a good day?
Ooh.
Well, this I'm wearing right now, my wool jacket. A good day. Red socks.
Ooh.
Yeah. Red socks. Like really good red socks. You know, Bruce told me something. If you want to have a really good day and you're out for a long day, like a really long day at night, bring an extra pair of socks so you can change the socks halfway through the day.
That is a nice feeling.
Isn't it? Yeah. And I thought that was stupid. And then I started doing it. And I go, I've been on my feet for 12 hours, changed my socks. And it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah.
That seems like a good tip, especially if like for one of those New York days where you have like a backpack with you and you're not going to be able to go back. Yeah.
Put an extra pair of socks in the backpack.
I'd expect such a tip from the best smelling kid.
An extra pair of socks. You know what? You can put a water bottle in there and there's water everywhere. So
Yeah.
And so why not put a pair of socks in? Because there aren't sock fountains everywhere you go. So
yeah,
unfortunately.
It really shouldn't be. I mean, the world would be a lot happier if people changed their socks during the day.
1,000%.
I think coziness is the key to everything.
Yeah, what that phrase, that Scandinavian thing for coziness?
Hige. I'm so into hige.
Like, what is hige? Everyone.
What's hige? Hige is like, it's just like when you're like professionally cozy. It's like you take being cozy really seriously. Like things that are hige are like definitely blankets, obviously. A nice pair of sweats. Expensive slippers. Pets are very hige.
Yep.
Okay. I just bought like a bunch of cozy socks yesterday in hige. Yeah. In pursuit of hige.
You know, like flannel sheets would be hige.
Right. Okay. Oh, I love cozy. Yeah.
Little sparkly Christmas lights and candles.
Candles are very hige. Yeah. And I've got a pair of shoes that I just bought that are wool lined. They are hige. They're not boots. They're shoes.
Right.
But they're wool lined.
That's hige as hell. I love it.
I cannot wait for the first big snowstorm because all I do is every day I pass them in the hallway and go, soon, I'll be slipping into those.
Ooh, I love that. Are you up in Toronto full time?
I am now.
As much as any comedian is.
Yeah. Like I was living in LA for a long time. And then I came back for the Kids in the Hall reboot, but that was just before the pandemic and then it hit. And so I stayed. I mean, I've had this condo for quite a long time. And, but I subletted it for many years. And I thought, well, I'm going to stay home. And then I was going to go back to LA a year ago. And then the strike hit and I went, well, I'm going to wait that out.
Yeah.
And so I'm still here. So I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going on this 2-month tour starting in January. And we'll see what happens at the end of that. I have a feeling I'll either my career will have gone to a new level or I'll have cratered or nothing will have changed, which is probably most likely. Most likely, I'm always thinking, I'm going to become huge or I'm going to be canceled and none of them happen. I just feel like this. I just keep moving to the same place.
My fans are my fans and my foes are my foes. And that's just the way it always
that
happens.
I love that. That's a great way to phrase it. Yeah.
Well, that's what's great about what you're doing is like people are coming to see you. Like they know they're ready to see Buddy Cole. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. And if they bring people that aren't ready, I bet by the end they will be. Yeah. And I promise them, I go, you might not like it, but look, I move so quickly through the show. It's so full of jokes. There's no time to worry about it. Like by right. the time you're offended, mm-hmm. I'm on to the next one.
Yeah.
I like that. So fast really, that they're like they can't even
It's really like I worked very hard. Yeah. And I just go, it's got to be joke after joke after joke after joke because mm-hmm. I'm going every monologue, not every one, but I mean, so much of the show is about identity politics and mm-hmm. about the hyphenated world we live in. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that. I want basically the journey is towards an unhyphenated world.
Mm-hmm.
That's what yeah. the ultimate arc of the show is.
Right.
Where Buddy yeah, Cole yeah. moving from a hyphenated world to I'm just me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a mm-hmm. person, which doesn't sound funny, but the way that he does it.
No, whether he does it.
It is yeah. funny.
When do you feel like you like cracked who Buddy what like when do you think you were like, aha, that's what Buddy is? Like
Well, I mean,
sure he's been an evolving over time.
He has been evolving. Like, he has been evolving yeah, yeah. over time. This Buddy right now, I'm not saying it's the last Buddy, the last incarnation, because partly the show is kind of, it's not like I'm retiring him, but I don't really yeah. need him the way I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Like I lived in a, when I came out, it was a very, very different world. And there's lots of Buddy Coles now, and there's lots of mm-hmm. openly gay people in the world and et cetera. And they just, mm-hmm. that was just not a thing when I started. And so in many ways I created Buddy Cole as a stand-up voice because I tried stand-up years mm-hmm. ago, but I was openly gay and that was not a thing. You could not be openly gay in the mm-hmm. 80s as a, you know, it wasn't, yeah. Yeah. no, you could barely walk down the street. So I created him because I knew that that kind of a character, people are already predisposed to not think that that character is serious. Mm-hmm. They don't think that that right. character has gravitas. They go, oh, that's a mm-hmm. silly character. I don't have to yeah. take that character seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I can undercut them because I've just got this silly thing. I've got big hair and crazy clothes, mm-hmm. but I'm saying yeah. very serious things.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. in that guise, in that effeminate gay male that no one takes seriously. And but that's not the way it is today. Mm-hmm. The effeminate gay male has been kind of reclaimed. Mm-hmm. And so now it triggers people. It makes some people very upset. Like I'm making fun of people like that when that couldn't be further from the truth. The truth is that I'm just making all I wanted to do is give this character life.
Mm-hmm.
And he's yeah. real. Like I based him on a real person. And mm-hmm. but I don't think, you know, but this new Buddy, it was during Amazon when I realized, holy cow, mm-hmm. Buddy is a punk.
Yeah, right.
Like yeah. Buddy's a stone cold rebel. Like yeah. he's like Marlon Brando in The Wild Ones. And they go, what do you have rebellion against? Buddy's like, what do you got?
Yeah, yeah.
And right, that's his ultimately what he is. What do you got? Because he just knows that whenever people achieve power, they screw mm-hmm. it up.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've learned, that it just it never changes.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can handle it.
Yeah.
Like nobody. And Buddy's here to tell the world that that's okay. That's the way it is. And be very mm-hmm. careful, because the enemy is always changing clothes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Almost like it's a structural problem, potentially.
or a human problem.
Yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I think yeah. it's just a human problem. And I think with this show, I think there's an awful lot of, empathy and kind of an acceptance of how flawed people are mm-hmm. and how... Mm-hmm. how wrong so many of us get it, and that all of us get it wrong at one point.
Of course.
But if you have the right, like Buddy's deep down, you have to look at a person like Buddy and go, well, deep down, I know this person's still struggling to reach the truth. And that really is mm-hmm. the kind of comedy I like the most. It's like, I may be at a place now that's uncomfortable, but I might get to that place that's mm-hmm. comfortable. But once I get there, I'm going to jump off to another uncomfortable place.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why I'm yeah. here. That's my job. Mm-hmm. That's how I serve the world. Mm-hmm. And if sometimes I understand that that's going to get me in trouble and sometimes people will hurt me for it, but I have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what it is for Buddy. Buddy's, he's better than me. He's smarter. He's braver. You know, he's funnier. It's weird. Like, he's definitely funnier and smarter. I just go, how can he be smarter than me?
I mean,
nobody's smarter than me. Did I say that out loud? Buddy's not clean. Scott, really? Come on.
Yeah.
You're not that smart. Mark's smarter than you. And Dave's smarter than you. You're just more educated. That's kind of true. I just read a lot more books
than Buddy.
Yeah, than Dave.
Than Dave, yeah, sorry.
Buddy's only read one book, his autobiography.
This is one of my favorite quotes from Garth Marenghi. I don't know if you ever saw that at the British
Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
My favorite.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite. One of my favorite quotes from him. He's like a Stephen King like type author up his own ass. He goes, I'm one of the only authors who's written more books than they've read.
Yeah. God, I don't know if that's even that was I like, if that's I just, true anymore.
I've talked about it quite a bit, but I just listened to the entire Barbara Streisand memoir, and she talks multiple. I mean, what a journey.
I can't wait to hear it.
Oh, my God.
Scott,
48 hours has never gone faster, but she doesn't listen to music. The only album she's ever owned is like the Four Seasons. Verity.
That's so she's
like,
funny.
I never cared for music. It's not for me. I'm like, how are you Barbara Streisand?
That's
and you
crazy.
Don't listen that, to music.
That's going to be, I've got to listen to that. And I hear she does it. A friend of mine, you know Julie Klausner?
Yeah, we know Julie.
So hilarious. She was telling the same thing. I'm listening to the Barbara Streisand audiobook. It's the greatest thing ever. Because apparently she talks really slowly and relishes every word like it's a meal.
She goes off script constantly. I've never listened to an audiobook where the reader goes off script. She'll be like, I don't remember that at all. There's one point where she's like, I guess I fucked Warren Beatty. I don't remember that at all.
Well, come on. I'm sorry.
You remember.
Yeah.
You're going to remember that.
I mean, you forgot fucking Warren Beatty.
But you listen to this woman's life and you're like, I could see how you could forget fucking Warren Beatty.
I know I wouldn't forget.
No.
She's so unbelievable. She's hilarious because when she was young, she was so funny. And then something happened. She decided that funny wasn't serious.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense. And then she just became an incredible bore.
But she, I would argue, like, is still funny. She's just no longer in on the joke.
Yeah, that's it.
She doesn't know.
She's fucking, it's one of the funniest things I've ever listened to through and through. I mean, without. Well, I don't know if I can listen. I hesitate to call it an audiobook because it's not fair to the other audiobooks.
It might be the only audiobook I ever listen to because I just keep getting people say, you've got to hear it.
It's so long to say, it's like 48 hours. It's like you're so immersed in that world for so long.
48 hours. So that can't be true. You're joking. You're exaggerating.
No, 48 hours, and Scott, it went by like a commercial break on a TV show. I was like, how did I emerged from a Barbara cave, and I miss her.
You listened to the whole thing?
I listened to the whole thing in like 2 weeks.
Did she talk about her affair with Pierre Trudeau, our prime minister?
Uh-huh. There's an entire chapter about Trudeau.
Oh, That's definitely what I
mean. You start listening to this life, you're like, I get how you'd forget about Warren Beatty. I mean, this woman has fucked prime ministers.
Yeah.
She fucked Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
I mean, just the amount of men she's fucked. The amount of ham sandwiches she described.
Did she fuck Einstein? Is it something like that? Like, I mean, did she...
There's no
I'm just gonna start this rumor that
Marilyn
would not be surprised.
I think
I think
Marilyn.
That's hot.
I think
Einstein was kind of a monster in bed.
Apparently he was. He was like a real pussy hound. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah. No. Absolutely. No, this Einstein was a pussy hound.
I'm
gonna say it.
Yeah.
What if after all this, that's where we drew the line? We're like, excuse us.
Wow.
That's what I would love to. That's the role that I want. Just like a Warren Beatty, a Lothario. That to me would be. We have achieved equality when I get to play a pussy hound. That
I was going to say you. I do believe your next one man show, Einstein as a pussy hound. I could watch.
I could just the ladies I've loved. All my ladies.
Yes.
Because I haven't had enough. I have had sex with women, but not enough for a one-person show. But I might go back to it just to get a show.
Just to get a show.
We need
actor premieres.
Okay, yes, we have to take another quick break. We'll be back.
Okay.
We're gonna be back and we're gonna go listen to Barbara's book, and then we'll be back after that.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait.
Right. Oh, right, holy shit. Everybody, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
Scott.
I'm Scott.
Perfect.
Lady problems. It's time. Send us your lady problems. Email us ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com. Give us a phone call 323-6-BUT-30.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Hey, ladies. Thank you so much for all the laughs during my PhD so far. But my lady problem. So I have the most awesomest husband ever. We're high school sweethearts. Married for almost 6 years and together for like 14. So sex life has gotten spicy, and my lovely, lovely husband recently figured out that he's bi, which is awesome. But that means that there's some cool integrations of dildos into our sex life now. Problem. When too many dildos, these motherfuckers be expensive, and I'm just like, whoa. He's really gotten into this. So please help me. How do I talk to him about like figuring out budgeting these dildos so we have a great sex life, but we're not financially desperate? Okay, thanks. Bye.
Wow.
How many
What's
do you
an
need?
Amount you think
How
we're
many
talking?
Do you need?
Well, I guess here's my question. So like, is the real thing more expensive than a dildo? Like, she's playing with fire, I think. And why is she convinced he's bisexual? Can't a straight man can still enjoy anal pleasure?
Right.
Well, maybe he told her he's bisexual, though.
Oh, he told her.
Yeah. But you're right. It's like he sounds like he's liking to take it in the butt and. It's being. Yeah.
I thought she was going to talk about bringing a third into the picture, but she didn't talk about that.
No, I think she's just truly like, it sounds like he's like found a new hobby basically, and he's just overspending.
Yeah.
Yeah. So well, in a way, it's a common wife issue.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Well, then you must know, you answer this one then, because I think you've got some history with this.
Overspending on a hobby. I mean, my husband's into sports gambling, so a bit different than dildos.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like if it literally is getting to a place where it's causing you financial duress, then I think you've just got to say, why don't we wait till Valentine's Day or your birthday?
Yeah. How cheap? I mean, how many dildos can a person have? I don't understand how that really could cause that much financial drain.
But maybe she's using dildos like the way we might say like Kleenex. Like maybe she's using dildos to encapsulate a lot of different toys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because some sex toys can be very complicated and very expensive.
Yeah. Well, and maybe she thinks they're like one use only. You think she's throwing
that's
out
what I'm wondering is I'm like, what's the cleaning like, you know, because obviously you have to have like a whole clean them and they've got to they've got to live in an area that's very clean, you know, so I would invest in those things and then maybe you'll be OK. But yeah, is this a one like how many?
I think that's what's under. I think that's what we're reading between the lines. I think she throws them out after one use.
Which is terrible.
Just a big pile in the backyard.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just picturing like a, you know, like a dog will bury a bone. Like I'm picturing their backyard just having like this dildo graveyard.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's. Go ahead.
I'm wondering if she's been stepping it up or they've been stepping it up. They started with a smaller one. They got bigger and bigger and bigger. I think she can get rid of the smaller ones now. Right. I think you just stick with the biggest one. That's probably Keith's problem.
Yeah, I think you can donate those to Goodwill and
donate because you can't really sell them. I don't think there's no resale value on a dildo. I mean,
go on Craigslist and maybe write a little story about them and you might be able to get something.
Well, if you said it was the baby, you could say it was Angelina Jolie's dildo, then you might sell it. It's a celebrity dildo.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't think about that. That's a good call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would say that. I would tell her to basically go to like eBay or something, open up a fake account, pretend that you're like a famous, you know, actress with a thirst trap, you know, like you're, you know, with an OnlyFans. Say, this is my dildo. I've used it many times. You know, say you're Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston opening up an eBay account just to sell.
Just to sell her old dildos, right?
We're going
to
get sued.
I love it. And it was modeled
on Brad's penis, right? Made from a cast of his penis. You can probably sell that, you know?
Yeah. So?
Yeah, make your money back on this.
That's what I would do. That's my advice.
Yeah, that's just responsible.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like, you can't burn them. That's really bad for the environment.
No, don't do that. Psychologically too, you don't need to see dildo melting down.
I mean, maybe
like that.
do they make wood dildos? That feels more sustainable.
They use glass,
but I don't think they sound super comfortable.
No,
they
definitely did. Oh my god, they're always the archaeologists are always coming across wooden dildos.
Are they really?
Yeah. Oh yes, they are.
Oh yeah,
they used to make them out of whale bone.
Yeah. Hey.
You've got one, don't you? You've got a whale bone.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem. Maybe he's into really vintage whale bone. He's like paying thousands of dollars for these,
that's
you know.
What it is.
Yeah.
They're
like, he's a collector.
Victorian, they're Victorian dildos, ivory and whale bone.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think we said the real thing is settling
it. That's not a dildo. That's a tusk.
Yes, exactly.
It's a tusk and they're illegal.
The black rhino is extinct, ma'am. Please back away.
And you're sitting on that rhino's tusk? Come on. Yes,
exactly. Man. Yeah, no, I think
little rubbing alcohol.
I guess a dishwasher. I don't really know what you're supposed to.
Look at us all pretending that we've never seen a dildo before.
Oh, I know. Honey, I've seen dildos. Okay.
Yeah.
Look, we work in the entertainment industry. We've seen dildos. We've worked for them. Yeah. Taken notes from dildos.
Yeah, exactly. I've got some coffees with some dildos next to me.
Wasn't the famous, in Hollywood Babylon, one of the most famous deaths was Raymond Navarro being beaten to death with a solid gold dildo.
Oh my god.
Oh.
Wow.
What a way to go. Is that is that the violent death you imagined for yourself when you were younger?
It is. Yes. But you see, it was violent and sordid, but it also was a solid gold dildo. So it was also like kind of elevated
glorious.
And glorious.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like if I'm beaten to death with a gold dildo, you know that I made it.
Yes.
Oh my 100%. God.
Yeah.
If I could afford a solid gold dildo, I made it. I'm ready to go. I'm ready, Jesus. I'm ready to go.
Take the wheel.
Look at me.
Is that why everybody wants an Oscar? So
I got my jazz hands. Take me, Lord. I'm ready.
Maybe that's what she's got. She's got a solid gold dildo in the house.
I mean, look, they are kind of expensive.
They are. Yeah, no. I think that's just the thing. You got to find some favorites and stick with them. You know,
it's about quality, not quantity.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
The porn star dildos are very expensive. The ones that are modeled on actual porn star dicks. That might be part of the problem. Mm-hmm. I think she should probably get some that are just like, you know, just generic.
Yeah. Go read some reviews and just buy some bestsellers and just, it's fine.
But yeah, I think get
Consumer's Report.
Yeah.
Wire cutter.
Better Business Bureau.
Yeah.
Some triple B's.
Yeah. But, you know, I think special occasion dildos, like, Valentine's Day, your anniversary, a 420 dildo.
Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's nice.
That's a good.
Yeah. That's good. I'm glad you guys are figuring it out. It's exciting. But yeah.
And good for you keeping it spicy. Guys have been together a long time and that's awesome. Years. That's awesome. That's very great. So it's a good problem to have. I think you've got a good dildo problem.
I do too. I wish we had that dildo.
I'm like, congrats. Yeah.
I know. I'm like, wow.
Feels a little bit like a brag.
I wish I was with my high school sweetheart and the only problem was he had too many dildos. I'd be a very happy man.
Definitely something to bring up at the high school reunion, I think.
Oh. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, solved it.
Oh my gosh.
Check mark. Yeah. Solved another one, everyone.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, that's our show, Scott.
Thank you. That was a lot of fun.
So exciting to hang out with you. Let everyone know where's Buddy going in January, February. And where can they find you?
January, February, I will be on the road. I will be doing like most of them are on the East Coast of the States, and they're mostly in venues called the City Winery.
Most of them.
But I'll also be at San Francisco Sketch Fest.
Yay, the best.
At the end of January with the Buddy Cole Show and the Kids in the Hall doing two shows as well.
Nice.
And I'll be in Calgary at the, One Yellow Rabbit Theater Festival.
Oh, great.
But it'll be all January, February, all over the States, mostly the States, East Coast.
Where can people find all the dates and tickets and all that?
Well, I'm going to be launching my website this week.
Great. Perfect.
It will be called New Scotland, if I get my domain back. but you can find me on Scott Thompson_ on Twitter and Instagram. But I have been, those are all going to, they've been kind of dead for a while, but I'm coming back. So soon I'll be all over the place. The website is where people will get all the.
Okay, great. Okay. This will be out like early January, so by then I'm sure you'll have it all up.
Oh, great! Yeah.
So awesome. go find King Buddy Cole's show if it's near you. Obviously, follow Scott if you're not yet. And just thank you so much. Mm-hmm. It was a joy to hang out with you. I'm such a fan and. Thank you.
I loved it. This is a way more fun than you really should legally be allowed to have on a Monday afternoon.
Aww. Thank you. My heart.
You're so awesome. Yes.
Thank you. I really enjoyed this.
Aw, thank you, Scott.
Thanks. I hope I run into you, you ladies on the, you know.
I hope so. Yeah.
We will.
If you're in LA, we'll definitely come check out your show too.
I can't wait. Okay. Yeah. I'll see you later.
Bye, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Right. Have a good one, Scott.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hey, ladies. I was just listening to an episode where you guys were talking about your clothes smelling like smoke. So I wanted to leave you guys a little tip. Get activated charcoal. You can find it on Amazon or at the pet store. You can even find it at the dollar store sometimes. They sell it in like a little closet smell absorber box thing. And then you're going to stick your item of clothing and the activated charcoal into a airtight bag and close it up and just let it hang out in there for as long as possible. If you want to speed up the process, I'd recommend using those little vacuum sealer storage bags so you can stick it in there and suck out all the air and then just leave it in there and the charcoal soaks up the bad smells and you don't have to like wash it or anything. So Try that, and hopefully you can de-stink that costume.
Hey, ladies and listeners. I was listening to the most recent episode. Anyway, the discussion was about do they still do scoliosis screenings in schools? And you were also talking about mammograms. So two things came to my mind. My mom recently told me that there is an alternative for mammograms now. It's like called a thermal breast screening. But I don't know if it's as accurate as a mammogram, but there is another option now. So it's like maybe there will be one. I have to start getting them soon. So it's something I'm thinking about. Another thing, speaking of my mom, whenever I was in middle school and they're doing the scoliosis screening, my mom's physical therapist, I went to a really small school and she was helping the nurse out with doing them. So my mom was there and y'all were talking, or Tess was talking about not having a bra on. Well, I was an early developed child and I did have a bra on. And during the scoliosis screening that my mom was doing, she nagged at me for my, or nitpicked at me, I should say, for my bra strap being twisted in front of the school nurse and was like, Kendra, fix your bra strap. So, can it get more embarrassing than that for scoliosis? Only if that had been the nurse, I guess, that did that to me instead of my mom. So, you're still doing it. I hope no one has their mom in the room.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok @BabsGray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker.